Bible reading today is from Matthew 23, verses 1 to 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to the disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries and wide and the tassels of their garments long. They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you only have one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you called to be teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Just pray that God will help us to see through Joshua's word today.
Well, good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Joshua. I'm the youth pastor here. And it's my privilege to kind of look at this part of God's word with you this morning. So let's pray that he'll be with us as we do that. Dear Lord, your word is both simple and complicated, both at the same time, I feel. And so we pray this morning as we look at this, Lord, that your spirit will be at work, that he will make your word clear to us, that he will use it to shape us and mould us into the community that you want us to be. And so we pray that you'll be with us now. Amen. I think I've shared this with you before, right? But I was saying to early church, I don't know if this is like part of my therapy of dealing with the scarring and the grief that this has caused me, but I used to play tennis. And every now and then I would enter tournaments and I would play against people from other parts of New South Wales. And I remember this one time on the court, early morning, I was feeling pretty great, really. I felt my forehand, it was looking good. My backhand, incredibly solid. And you just get that feeling of greatness. You just think something good is going to happen today. And what made me feel even better about myself was the other dude was really struggling, right? He was hitting the net, going long. And so I was just feeling really, really confident. Turns out, though, I was playing my best in the warm-up, and I don't think he was even trying in the warm-up. So once the game actually started, I don't know, I'm not even sure I got a game. It was an absolute destruction. And so what turned out is, like, my greatness that I was feeling, like, was completely fake. It was an utter sham. And he was the one who turned out to be really great. I don't know what makes you feel great about yourself. I don't know how you kind of think about greatness, but I reckon it's one of the things that we would all like to be on some level, is to be great. And I think in our passage today, we're going to see the same thing. We're going to see people who think that they're covered in greatness, but they actually turn out to be fakes. They're going to be shown up by those who are truly great. If you haven't been with us in previous weeks, we've been working through this book here called The Gospel-Centered Church and thinking about becoming the community that God wants us to be. We're in the second section of this book now, which is all about the priority of people in God's community. And I think this morning we're going to hear Jesus say that real greatness is making other people a priority rather than yourself. So if you've got your Bibles, please keep them open. We're just going to try and work top to bottom through what Carol read for us. So Jesus opens in Matthew 23 by pointing out that the scribes and Pharisees have a position of leadership, a position of authority. So we're in verse 2. He says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." To sit in Moses' seat just means to kind of teach his law, to teach the scriptures. The scribes and the Pharisees were like the preachers, the communicators of God's word, just like the great Moses. Jesus, however, is really quick to point out that their greatness is fake. I don't know if you're aware, but the New York Times has recently released an expose on Amazon. You know Amazon, like the internet kind of retail shop where you can buy, like, everything, books, toys, socks, music, computers, furniture. You can get everything in the comfort of your own lounge room from Amazon. It's absolutely wonderful. But this expose actually reveals that the people working for Amazon, like, they don't enjoy it. It's horrible. I think one guy was saying, like, reading this stuff was like, it's actually like slavery in terms of how Amazon treat their workers. It doesn't actually sound that wonderful. And it caused and has caused quite a stir. There's been quite a reaction to this article. And I think Jesus here does his own expose on the scribes and Pharisees as he talks about greatness. And I think what he has to say causes a stir and gets a reaction. Because he exposes what the Pharisees are really like. And he says, don't be like them. They may look great, but they're not. Don't copy them. Their fakeness, their greatness is fake. So we'll work through Jesus' expose from verse 3. "Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." You see, the Pharisees don't really bother kind of listening to themselves. They just like talking. And they're not interested in helping people get closer to God. They're just interested in talking. But on to verse 5. "Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long." See, the Pharisees, they just love to show off. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 8, God's people were to bind God's law on their foreheads. You know, a phylactery, from my understanding, is just like a big box, right, full of all Bible verses. And the tassels are designed to kind of help them remember different parts of the law. Like these phylacteries and tassels, it's like Bible bling, okay? They're wearing it, but they're not wearing it for the sake of kind of knowing God's word. See what Jesus says? It was so everyone would notice. The Pharisees, they just love to show off. What about verse 6? "They love the place of honour at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues." They just love to be noticed. They love recognition. They love to be important. And finally, verse 7, "They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others." They love being respected. They love being honoured. They just love being held up as important and great. And Jesus exposes the fact that the scribes and Pharisees, they're just in it for themselves. They're not in it for anyone else. It's not that being important is bad. It's not that being respected or having people say nice things about you is wrong. But the Pharisees, they just hold their position to serve themselves. They just love their position because it allows them to prioritize themselves. That's why Jesus says, don't be like them in verse 3. Their greatness is fake. And it's fake because greatness is not at all about prioritizing yourself. And I actually think we agree pretty quickly with Jesus. You know, no one likes the self-prioritizer, the person who looks out for number one, because number one is always yourself. They're irritating people, right? They just kind of get under our skin and they bug us. And great would actually be one of the last words we would use to kind of describe such a person. I think we're really quick to agree with Jesus that their greatness is fake. But the issue is, deep down, actually, we are often self-prioritizers ourselves. We are often people who look out for number one. And as much as we might hate to admit it, at times we can look like the Pharisees. Maybe you would say, of course I'm interested in people getting closer to God. But then we do things like not really bother to kind of join a home group because, you know, you wouldn't want to be out at night or you wouldn't want to give up a morning of your week. Maybe you don't love showing off, but you actually only help out when it would be obvious if you weren't helping because you don't want anyone to think you're being lazy. Maybe you wouldn't say you love to be noticed, but if someone forgets or fails to say thank you for something that you did, just kind of get this burning rage and anger growing inside of you. Maybe you wouldn't say you love to be honoured, but you're actually only interested in helping out with things when everyone's going to notice. See how prioritising yourself can kind of, it can sneak in. At times it disguises itself as prioritising people, but it's prioritising yourself. And I think it can show itself in many other ways. You know, we can say or think, especially with church stuff, it's my road or the high road. Or the first question off our lips or bouncing around in our head when we hear something new is, how's this going to impact me? Or we'll say things like, man, there is no way I'm going to that event if that person's going. Sometimes fake greatness kind of creeps into our lives. Sometimes fake greatness is just blatantly obvious. But it's not greatness, right, if it's prioritising yourself. It's fake greatness. Real greatness is about prioritising people, other people. Why? Because I think that's exactly how Jesus defines it in verse 11. He says, the greatest among you will be your servant. It's really clear. Real greatness comes from serving other people, not yourself. Jesus wants to highlight that the real greatness is of servants. This is where Jesus causes a stir. This is where he gets a reaction as he redefines greatness. The challenge for us in becoming the community that God wants us to be is that we adopt Jesus' definition of greatness. We need to make sure as a community we uphold the priority of people. We need to be a people that serve other people, not ourselves. You need to be a person who prioritizes others, not yourself. It's just as countercultural now as it was then. Jesus is saying, be a servant, prioritise others. I think there's tons of things that we can start thinking and just kind of mulling over as we think about prioritising other people and being a servant. Here are some things that kind of popped into my head as I was thinking about it. Maybe we could be involved in kind of helping out at lunch. You know, instead of always kind of eating lunch, actually help by serving lunch. Maybe we could be involved in creche or kids' church. Instead of kind of sending our kids there and just enjoying the time in here without them, maybe we could be involved and help out. Maybe we could just be welcoming to stop and chat with the newcomer at church instead of kind of just racing to see our good friend that we haven't seen since Thursday. I think we need to be clear, though, that Jesus isn't just saying be a servant at church. He's saying be a servant. We need to make people a priority in all areas of life. And this, again, could just look like so many things. It might mean being involved with PNC, with Scouts, with Rotary. It might mean offering to help someone move house even though it's like your first kind of Saturday at home and you've just been longing to kind of just muck around in your shed. It might mean looking after your neighbour's dogs while they're on holidays. Although, that's not really a sacrifice because everyone loves dogs. It probably means like looking after your neighbour's cats, right, while they're on holidays. It might mean letting the mum with the screaming baby who is clearly frazzled kind of go in front of you in the line at Coles. It might mean doing the dishes for your mum. It might mean mowing the lawn for your dad without them asking. It might mean even if what you want to do right is just read the paper, but it might mean putting it down and genuinely listening to your kids, even when all they want to talk about is this thing called Minecraft, right? It might mean taking the time out of just doing whatever you want to write a note of encouragement to someone. It might mean taking someone out for coffee, spending some time talking with them. I don't know, right? Like, prioritising others could mean so many different things. It could look so differently. But if we're going to do it, we need to be people who kind of keep our eyes up and open. We need to be looking out for other people and what they need. We don't want to be people who kind of keep our eyes down and closed, always worrying about what we need. Jesus wants us to leave the fake greatness of Pharisees behind and chase the real greatness of servants. But we do need to be so clear on this. It's fake greatness when it's for yourself. Because it is so possible to do servant-like things but be really doing them for yourself and not for others. So think about the example of mowing the lawn for your dad. Sure, it's serving your dad. He doesn't have to do it. But if you did it because you think it means your dad will say yes to you going to the movies with your friends later that night, who did you really mow the lawn for? If you do the dishes, I had to admit in early service, I was using this as an example of parenting, right? But it's actually a husband example. So if you do the dishes for your wife, but you did it 3 hours after she asked because you were watching the football, who are you really prioritising? If you serve at kids' church because you feel guilty, are you doing it because you're prioritising kids or are you just trying to get rid of that yucky feeling that you have inside? Do you serve on the PNC because the school community actually needs engaged parents helping out? Or because you think the school just needs to hear all the wonderful things you have to say? Jesus wants us to leave the fake greatness of the Pharisees behind and to chase the real greatness of servants. He wants us to make people a priority. Real greatness is making other people a priority rather than yourself. And it's not about making people look like a priority. They actually really have to be a priority. Jesus cares about the motivations of your heart, the stuff he can see but no one else can. Jesus knows whether your greatness is fake or real. And there's going to come a moment, I think, when it's made known. I reckon that's what's hinted at in verse 12. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Maybe this won't happen right now, but I think unavoidably at the end of time, our greatness, fake or real, will be made known. Jesus is going to make sure of that. And those who have fake greatness, the fake greatness of Pharisees, they're going to be shown up and it's going to be dealt with. Those who have the real greatness of servants, well, that's going to be revealed and they're going to be rewarded. It's quite a sobering thought, really. And so part of me thinks, boy, isn't it great to kind of have Jesus' definition of greatness? Well, it's really good to operate with his definition because that's the kind of ruler he's going to be using. I can work with that. But then when you start thinking about this definition, like you get the discomforts because the word servant, like prioritising others, these are massive things. Like when should we do that? Should it be all the time? Should it just be some of the time? Is it possible? You know, like we need an example to see how does this play out. And Jesus, right, is not like the Pharisees. He practices what he preaches. So when he redefines greatness, he then actually goes and lives it out, answering those kinds of questions that we have. And I can't help but think of Philippians chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles, flick to Philippians chapter 2. I'll read a few verses for you there. Let's start in verse 5. This is about Jesus. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. If Jesus' redefinition of greatness kind of gave you the slight discomforts, I reckon his example kind of leaves you with full-blown discomfort. He prioritizes others so much that he leaves the comfort of heaven. He prioritizes others so much that he's actually willing to die for them, and he does. We see that his definition and his example of greatness is much greater than we can live out. There may be flashes of selflessness in us. There may be these flashes of greatness in us, as Jesus defines it. But living out consistent greatness, having a life that displays a consistent priority of people, I don't know about you, but I feel like I come up really short. I don't think we can live out Jesus' definition of greatness. I don't think we can follow his example of greatness. We actually need more than a definition. We need more than an example. And Jesus doesn't fail us here either. Listen for how Mark talks about it, how Mark says Jesus handles our needs. This is from Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, to learn real greatness, we need more than a definition. We need more than an example. We need Jesus' death. We need his death because it was given as a ransom. There are no shortage of ransom demands on the TV shows that we watch. We kind of get that a ransom is what has to be paid to free someone who's been kind of taken captive. Jesus' death is a ransom because it paid to free us from our constant captivity to the desire to prioritize ourselves. The Bible is clear too that when you trust Jesus, that he has paid the ransom and that his death is the only way that we will ever be free, what happens is Jesus gives us his record of real greatness. And it is real greatness. And so those moments when you have prioritized yourself, they're forgiven. Those moments in your life that have kind of been fake great, they're dealt with. They're gone. And so at the end of time, for those who trust Jesus, they're going to be revealed as having real greatness. Not a greatness of their own, but Jesus' greatness. And the revealing, I think, begins gradually now in this life as the Holy Spirit transforms our hearts and our priorities. That's why you'll hear us on Sundays constantly talk about the gospel, the good news of Jesus. This is just one angle of the gospel. We have been given Jesus' greatness. It's great news. It's good news. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you were with me on prioritizing others. You were with me on caring for people and not thinking of yourself first. You agreed with Jesus and his definition of greatness, and you think Jesus was an incredible example. But there's this bit that's hard to swallow, right? You go, I just don't kind of take the whole having to die bit. If you're one of those people, all I can say to you, I think, is please come and talk with me. I think there's lots more we can talk about on this. And if you agree with Jesus on 2 out of 3 things, I reckon he's worth asking some more questions of and just seeing the answers that he gives. You never know, you may end up agreeing with them. If you're sitting here this morning and you're kind of 3 from 3 with Jesus in this section, you know, you agree with his definition, you're blown away by his example, and you know that he needed to die, well, be reminded that if you trust in Jesus, you've been forgiven and you're being transformed. Even though there remains a temptation and a tendency to fake greatness, to prioritizing yourself, what's happened is radical. There has been a radical change inside of you. The Holy Spirit now gives you a genuine desire to serve others, to prioritize others. And you know that the call to do that has come because Jesus served you by dying on the cross. So can I encourage you to continue to chase real greatness as Jesus defined it? Make other people a priority rather than yourself. Follow Jesus' example. But remember, it's made possible only by his death. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.